The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com.
What is up? We're the One Show giving you the truth about personal finance. This is Financial Coaching Radio, and I'm your host, Jason Qual, Certified Financial Planner, one of the only independent commission-free financial advisors in Rutherford County. For all about me, check out jasonquallscfp.com. If you want to jump in and be a part of the show, click email the show at financialcoachingradio.com or any of the social media links there as well. Excuse me. Are we in a recession? One article is claiming, not officially, but there are growing concerns as one on the horizon. Well, probably not. Maybe. Who knows? They always say we're headed for a recession, it never happens. Well, they don't say we're headed for a recession, it happens. A recession is a significant decline in economic activity that can last months or even years. Most experts warned we aren't in a recession yet, but we could be headed for one. There are steps you can take to prepare yourself emotionally, sorry to laugh at that, emotionally and financially for a recession. GDP, if GDP starts going backwards, essentially that's when we're going to a recession. What can you do? Well, I don't know if there's anything you can do. You can prepare if you have. Here's the good positive thing about recession. And it's not really actually positive because it's affected your net worth and your other investments on the horizon. But if you have accumulated a significant amount of cash, and significant is a relative term, but if you have $25,000, $50,000 or more, more the better, and we have a drastic short-term market decline because of whatever fears, economic fears that are out there, and you have some cash you can invest. Right now, you're getting, 4 or 5% on a savings account. And as long as you don't have over $250,000 for a single account, $500,000 in one bank for a joint account, it's federally insured. So basically, you're getting that guaranteed rate of interest until interest rates come down. But if we have a significant market decline, think of COVID, that March, April, May months of 2020, if in that time you were putting some serious cash to work in just broad market indices, investment indices, the S&P 500, the energy sector, small company stocks, trying to think of anything else. Those are the ones that I remember hitting it the largest during that time. And if people put cash, is it necessary to invest this way? But no, that would be one of the positives of facing a recession because of a market pullback. And you can take advantage of that. Is that something that's recommended, strongly encouraged? Certainly not, because we don't want to take part in any market timing. But I love common sense investing. What is the best way for investing? Now, you ask 10 different financial people, they'll give you 10 different answers. But I'm going to cut through all the BS here, because a lot of financial people are salespeople. They're going to tell you what to invest in is basically what they're selling. If you go to the strip mall financial guy, they're going to recommend, a couple of different fund companies because that's all that they're really allowed to sell. Same thing for the bank guys or big investment houses. Most of what they recommend or sales pitch you is just what makes them the most money. But in a broad basic sense, if you know what your investment strategy or investment allocation needs to be based on your retirement planning goals, let's say it's very middle of the road, 50-50 stock to bond. We can knock that out with a couple of different index funds and really be done with the most complicated part of investing. And we can keep piling money there, whether we're putting it into a regular IRA, a Roth IRA, 401k, whatever, not really relevant for this conversation. We just want to do it systematically every week, every pay period, every month, every year, and do that for a long period of time. Make sure our investments are low cost, like index funds. Don't try to market time. Don't try to jump in and jump out. Don't try to worry about the economic situation of the world or the country or the political climate we're in. Just continue to put money away in an investment strategy very much like what I described. And in 10, 20, 30 years, when you wake up and you're thinking about slowing down, wanting to retire, you'll be just overwhelmed of how much wealth you've accumulated by something so simple. But that doesn't mean it's the end-all be-all. It doesn't mean we can't use common sense. And the common sense I'm referring to is what I just laid out earlier. You got $25,000 plus in cash, $250,000, whatever. Whatever you've got kind of laying around, and the whatever doom and gloom predictors there are out there, and they've said they're right, and we go through an economic pullback due to high interest rates and inflation, we kind of see the tail end of that, and that happens, these major market indices are going to be down, maybe be down double digits. And that is the time to buy. Put that cash to work. I think energy's up like 400% since COVID. Don't quote me on that. I'm old, but that's my memory. I mean, if you had cut around March, April, May, somewhere around in there, if you had put cash to work in the energy sector, small company stocks, the S&P 500, whatever was down the most at the time has really done tremendous over this last 4 or 5 years. And we're going to have another major issue. You know, it could be anything similar to COVID. It could be another 9/11. Could be a bonehead politician that gets elected. More so than we've had in the past. Seems like the politicians are getting worse. We can take advantage of those short-term market fluctuations if we do have that cash. Here's one thing that I've observed over the last 20 years. You know, 10 years ago, the market, to me, was way different than it is now. And what do I mean by that? It's like, you know, we heard about, you know, the crashes of the 70s, the 80s, of course, the Great Depression. I felt like in the 90s, early 2000s, mid-2000s, you know, 2010, somewhere around the 2015, the market was still operating kind of under an old set of rules. Now, with technology rapidly changing everything in the last decade, and every day, every week, every year, something is coming out that's bigger and better, faster than before. Now, we have all this artificial intelligence stuff, but economic declines, as far as it goes and relates to the investing markets, seem to happen quicker. This is the downturns come faster, the recoveries come faster, so it's not like it takes us 2 or 3 years to get out of these things like it did, say, in 2008, 2009, 2010. After the great quote-unquote recession. Now, you know, if it's COVID happens, I think we were back to even and positive before the end of the year, and that was the worst market declines we had seen in forever. So keep doing what you're doing. If you have a systematic strategy based on your investments and retirement plan, but if you have this, if you accumulated this cash, be prepared to put it to work very soon if there is a market decline. And that would be some common sense timing of the market, not necessarily trying to time the market. This is Financial Coaching Radio. I'm Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner. Going to take a short break. Be back with you right after this.
Hey, Financial Coaching Radio listeners, if you don't understand exactly how your financial advisor is compensated, you could be in big trouble. My name is Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner. To learn more about why my process is so unique, go to jasonquallscfp.com or call 878-2134 today. Okay, folks, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. If you were my client or a loved one, I would never let you get your wills done online. This is truly a case of where you only get what you pay for, and those you leave behind will be the ones to pay the price. Go see estate planning attorney John Baker today by calling 896-5621 or go to bakercounsel.com. Again, that's 896-5621 or bakercounsel.com. Get the expert estate planning advice you need today.
Did you know that the U.S. tax code has over 70,000 pages? This is precisely why you must have a tax expert on your team. The folks at TH&W CPAs have been providing their expertise to individuals and businesses in Middle Tennessee for over 50 years. And now they have an office right here in Murfreesboro. Call Kevin Sizemore today with TH&W CPAs at 848-1072. That's 848-1072 or online at thwcpa.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is Financial Coaching Radio. Joining back again is Kevin Sizemore, CPA of Total and Wealth Shield Taxes. This recent article has just came out, maybe the last day, maybe the last day. The IRS has finally ruled on inherited IRAs and RMD rules. And as we all know now, the Secure Act changed the stretch IRA, made everyone who is non-spouse inheriting an IRA have to pull everything out within 10 years. But it was always unsure of if you had to take an annual distribution. Have you seen these?
No. So what's the rule?
If the person who passed the IRA on to you was not of RMD age, younger than age 73, then you don't have to do anything. But if they were already taking a required distribution, you were supposed to continue that on, but you still got to get it all out at 10 years. So
if that person was under age 73, not taking RMDs,
don't have to do anything special. Just got to get it out in 10 years.
Okay, so if they are
their RMD was $1,000 a year, you got to continue to do that, and then plus get it out at the end of 10 years.
Okay.
Which I had read that somewhere. But
so the RMD continues on as if the person was living, but it all has to be out.
Yeah, what I've done before this even rule, and they're not going to go back and retroactively penalize anyone. They're starting it next year.
That's fair enough.
Which this thing's what, 2 or 3 years old now?
Oh yeah.
So what if you just didn't take the RMD? I guess they're not. I don't understand how they would even penalize that anyway, because that's where I think a lot of people are lost. You got to take the thing out in 10 years. Why do they care if you do it very, very slowly like that?
Yeah.
All at the end.
Why does it have to be some kind of calculation for a required minimum distribution, right? or take it out? Like the Roth IRAs. You just have to have it all gone at the end of 10 years.
Because there is no required minimum distribution.
That's right.
I've kind of had my blinders on this. I don't think I've yet to have someone pass away and leave behind a Roth IRA. But there's... That 10-year rule applies to non-spouses on those as well, right?
That's right.
That's crazy.
But there's no RMDs on Roth, so you just have to have it out in 10 years. So the smart...
I guess take it all out and make it a taxable investment account?
That's right. So the smart thing to do would be to let it grow for 10 years and not touch it. And that way you get that growth tax free and then take it out and move it over to just a regular brokerage account, I guess.
Yeah, I've never paid close attention to that. I don't know if it's because I had in my mind that Roths don't have RMDs, so who cares? But I didn't think about the 10-year rule. But no taxes on Roths when you do make that 10-year rule distribution. But
so if they were making, on a traditional IRA, if they were making RMDs,
just basically count it like an inherited IRA, do the annual distribution.
But it's based on the deceased person's RMD, not you taking it out over 10 years.
It still could be that you're going to put in your age, and the calculators put in your age, put in their age, all that kind of stuff. It gives you a number.
Okay.
What I've been doing, besides making it that precise, I've just been dividing by 10.
That gets you there. Each year divide
by
10?
You'll have a less amount in year 10, right?
Right. Yeah, because usually if you do it like what the RMD is,
it's going to be huge at the end.
Yeah, it's going to be a big number.
But that's some guidance there. Anyone ever posed the question yet with the recent law changes on taking a 529 plan and making it a Roth IRA?
I have.
Have you seen those rules?
Yeah, I've seen them. I've had a couple of people ask about them, that their kids are not going to be able to use all of their 529. So pretty intelligent clients actually asked me the question. I said, yeah, you just roll it over. You need to get with your financial advisor and roll it directly over from the 529 to a Roth. You have to do
a
it.
A little more complicated than that, I think.
Yeah.
That had to be open for 15 years.
Oh, wow. It just has to be open. So with some,
well,
$1.
You can only roll
in.
It into a Roth for the beneficiary.
Okay.
So if it's for the child. Now here's the, so it's got to be open for 15 years. If you're going to move it from a 529 to a Roth, then it's got to be for whoever the beneficiary is of the 529 plan. We're going to have to wait 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years for guidance on from the IRS is, what if you change the beneficiary to yourself?
Or to the
Does
next
it reset
kid?
The 15 years.
That's what I was going to ask.
And there's no, I think it's a loophole. I think you could just change it to yourself. They're not going to know.
You can change. So if you're 50, you're
like
60 years
right
old.
Now, the client, the daughter, the 22-year-old daughter, not going to use their, I think, like $10,000 left in a 529 plan. If they just say, well, the daughter is not the beneficiary, well, now my wife is, and now we can move that $10,000 in a 529 to a Roth for the wife. Because she become the beneficiary. It's older than 15 years.
Do it quick before they rule
out it. You can only do $35,000 total. It does count towards your contribution. You still got to, if it's, you know, let's say you got $16,000 in there, it's going to take you 2 years to get that out because you have to follow the contribution rules.
The $7,000 plus $1,000.
Yep.
Catch up.
So it's not as easy as it. We all thought it would be, of course. We shouldn't have assumed anything with the government was going to be. But it's that 15-year thing that's going to get most people.
But it still has to be designated by the time the original beneficiary is 30. Is that rule still there?
I'm not familiar with that one.
I thought it had to be done.
The 529 kind of expired?
Yeah, it has to be used for purposes of higher education by the...
I've never heard
age
that.
Of 30.
Is that true? Let's see if we can find that out real quick. We'll look that up during the break. I've never heard that on 529s. So have you ran into this issue before?
No. Years ago, it seems like I had one. It was a special situation, and the client was telling me, and we moved it, and they ended up using it for travel purposes or living purposes or something. You know, they got it out of the 529, end of the story. So I'm not sure, but it seems like that topic came up, the age limit on it, and there was a substantial amount of money in there, you know, several tens of thousands of dollars, and neither child needed the money for higher education.
Right. Yeah, the plans aren't that old. Now, they are, like, I guess, commonplace today for 529, for college savings. But here's the thing. We were talking about this with the RMD, inherited IRA distribution guidance, and now we don't have guidance on this 529 to Roth thing of changing beneficiaries. When the law changes, why doesn't the IRS just go ahead and nail down these things? What takes them so long?
I don't know. Do you think that they just don't look ahead to see the, you know, quote-unquote loophole in that? Because that seems like a loophole to me, changing the beneficiary to your spouse, you know, so that person can take it out or roll it into the Roth that way. That seems like what people would consider a loophole.
Right. Because the backdoor Roth, you know, that's the loophole of the century.
Yeah, and it makes no sense why it's there. And they tried to shut it down at one point, didn't they? And or there was talk of it, and it just kind of went away. Right.
Well, they'll talk about changes to anything.
So, you know,
these major tax overhauls go through, and it's not that complicated just to lay out. Is it just because they can't cover all of the moving parts? You know, they start putting, you know, it's got to be 15 years old. It's got to be for the beneficiary. All these kind of parameters on there. But nobody thought, well, what if I just change my beneficiary? I think they left it that ambiguous because they knew people were going to use it that way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
what's the reasoning behind the 15-year rule?
I get,
because you didn't take a deduction to put the money into the 529, just like you wouldn't have with putting it into a Roth.
Right. I can't really.
Makes no sense.
But what is the benefit of that to the government? Nothing makes sense that they do.
Well, it's like
I guess that's to deter people going, oh, I'm going to pound this 529 plan for my kid's college, and in a couple years, I'm going to make that my Roth.
No,
because I guess that they think if you've been doing it for 15 years, it's probably for college.
It's probably for that child.
But smart rich people are going to wait 15 years.
Yeah, they're going to wait to get their money.
You know, that's one other avenue to get money. But again, and I didn't look this up, I probably should. I don't know, does the compensation, what if you can't make, you know, regular Roth IRA contributions?
Well, then you'd have to do backdoor Roths.
So you're taking but you can't take a 529 to a traditional IRA, though. That's a withdrawal.
Yeah, that would be.
So you'd
have
to be under the income limits for all this to apply, right?
Not to roll it to a Roth.
Well, because you have to do it by the contribution limits. So
because it's limited to the contribution limit. So you would have.
So if you make too much to have any contribution, then you have no way to move it from a 529 to a Roth. So that's already deterring a lot of high income people from using it.
Right.
So then we're back to why the 15 years?
Yeah, why the 15 years? And that brings up a thing. For 2024, I think the IRA contribution limit, that just reminded me when you said that, I believe it's 230 this year for married, filing,
yeah,
joint.
It's up there.
It's getting up there.
And they should just do away with it. They should really just should.
Yeah, because, I mean, the max contribution under 50 is $7,000. I mean, it's $7,000 we're talking about. Why put a limit on that? Why put an income limit on that? Right. It makes no sense.
And especially without closing the backdoor loophole. If you're not familiar with that strategy, we'll do a whole other show on that. Just look it up, because it's pretty cool. And the IRS is totally cool with it when you use it.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin Sizemore, CPA of Tetherow, Hill & Welch, THWCPA.com. This is Financial Coaching Radio, and we're back.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, the drink my.
Do you have a financial plan? I'm not talking about a worthless binder full of pretty charts and graphs. Are you certain you're on track to reach all your financial goals? A comprehensive financial plan is about so much more than just your IRA and mutual funds. It involves risk management, tax planning, professional investment management, retirement, and estate planning. Make sure your entire financial life is in order by calling me, Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner, at 878-2134, or go to my website, jasonquallscfp.com.
Buying a house is stressful, and so is shopping for a mortgage. Take my advice and get a second opinion on the mortgage for your new home or your refinance. Not all banks and mortgage companies are created equal. Trust me on this. Call my friend Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885. Great team, great process, and the best rates. Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885.
Confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine.
Welcome back to the show. This is Financial Coaching Radio, the one place giving you the truth about personal finance. This is Financial Coaching Radio, the one show giving you the truth about personal finance. Still here in the house is Kevin Sizemore, CPA of Tetherow, Hill & Welch, talking taxes, tax planning. If you got a tax planning question, hit us up online, financialcoachingradio.com. Click email the show. You can also check out Kevin's website, Tetherow, Hill & Welch, THWCPA.com. Anything else you've experienced this past tax season when you're like, hey, this is a first, or this is repetitive, this is an issue that I see a lot of things happening? Yeah, because I kind of ebb and flow. It's not that every year there's something unique in the financial planning world that everyone is kind of going through. Everyone's asking questions about. And that's just with all the technology that is changing the world.
Okay, here are a couple of deductions that are no longer deductions. So if you're and this come about with a lot of people working remotely now that are employees, they receive a W-2, and then yet they want to take a home office deduction. That went away 7 years ago. employees no longer can take a home office deduction because they did away with the miscellaneous itemized deduction, and that's where it would have fell on the tax return.
Okay, so a W-2 employee.
Yeah, a W-2 employee.
I got asked this question by someone. I didn't think it was even possible at all.
Yeah, there's no place to. There are a couple of different instances where employees can take some deductions, but you have to fall into a certain type of an employee.
Is that changing with all the people working remotely more and more?
Yes, people are, you know, they're using part of their house for their employer to employ them.
They should get something.
They should get something, but right now there's physically no way to put it on a tax return.
That's some good. That's good. I didn't think there was.
Yeah.
But you said there was on some kind of miscellaneous something?
Yeah, there is something for some military employees and some other kind of guaranteed employment contracts. There's a couple of different ways that can happen. But for the most part, 99% of the people cannot use that deduction anymore. It just does not exist.
Anything else going away or not? No. Was never even there?
Another one kind of went away a couple of years ago, a few years ago now. People group things historically into meals and entertainment for small businesses.
Yeah.
Entertainment is not deductible. It has not been deductible for a few years
now. Why is it called meals and entertainment?
I don't know. Because that's historically been the, you know, grouping that we've used. So it's just meals.
It's throw a party. That's not deductible.
Not deductible.
What?
Well, party would be a little different because there would be food involved.
So make sure everything's a meal.
So you're not buying tickets to a Titans game.
That wouldn't be expensive.
That's not expensive. You can't expense that, yes.
I didn't know that.
Those are a couple of easy things that I continuously have to correct people on.
So they're actually, I guess that you're actually doing bookkeeping to see that.
Yeah.
Because if they just came in with a line item and said meals and entertainment, you're not going back through and saying, well, this sports tickets, this was a party, this was a dinner.
No, you know, you're looking over it. Sometimes there's a list of things they bought, and you're just like, well, we can't do that.
But the IRS really, how would you get audited? What would be the audit process on that? They're going to make you pull receipts for those events and prove it?
Yeah, they would.
Good Lord.
But, I mean, you're talking about a very small percentage at the end of the day on something like that. That's not something that's going to get you audited unless it's excessive.
And there's meals that there's different levels of deductibility, right? 50% or 100%, something like that?
Well, there used to be 100% for a couple of years there. It all dropped back to 50%.
So you can only deduct 50% of meals.
That's right.
Slash entertainment. And
yeah.
Why is that? Why do they only give you? Because they feel like it's a BS number anyway.
they feel like it's a BS number anyway.
What percentage of your clients this past tax season were able to itemize their taxes? Because the standard deduction,
we've forgotten
how small the standard deduction used to be.
I would guess.
Was it $26,000, something like that now for a married couple?
Last year for married, filing joint was $27,000, a little over $27,000. This year it's up near $30,000. I would guess somewhere in the 35% itemized. 25% would be a safe guess.
And is it typically, would you say it's high income?
Yeah.
Does that mean have high expense?
Yeah, they have
high. Or is it they've had a major medical issue?
No, it's rarely major medical issues. Normally it's through people giving to charity or a combination of charity and mortgage interest, real estate taxes.
Yeah, large properties.
Large homes that they have interest on. But even that is limited based on the principal that's owed on the house. So,
is there still some quirky stuff with writing off some of these deductions with income? Well, I forgot what the acronym.
SALT.
SALT.
State and local taxes limited to $10,000, just a flat $10,000. Once you've reached that $10,000 limit on state and local taxes, that itemized deduction stops.
Do we still have the Obamacare taxes and all that on investment income? Is that still
yes,
a thing?
Yes, net investment income tax.
Trump didn't just 86 that.
Yeah, that's the 3.8%. If your income's over a certain amount, you pay an extra 3.8% on investment income, not just earned it. It wouldn't apply to earned income.
So I haven't had anyone tell me any stories about Obamacare premiums in a while. I've heard that the coverage is actually pretty good, but the premium, if you're paying for it, is still substantial. But if you do get a subsidy, I guess this is what's paying for the subsidy, right?
Yeah. So
it's not like, since there's no mandate, not everybody else is on it anymore. So I guess they're just taking from the tax system to pay for it.
Right. I do have people that, you know, they'll have Obamacare. They'll go out in the market and get their insurance, and they've got some kind of premium tax credit there. And they receive that throughout the year, and then their income might have changed, or they reported it wrong when they signed up for it. And then they owe, you know, a portion or all of that credit back at the end of the year because their income was higher than they reported to the marketplace to begin with to get that credit.
If you have a tax question, go to thwcpa.com. You can also locate their website information at financialcoachingradio.com. We're going to take our last break. Make sure to keep it locked in right here on WGNS. Maybe I don't really want to know how you got in gross, 'cause I just want to fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain in the morning rain?
How much are your investments costing you each year? Most people don't have a clue. Why is this extremely important? Because overpaying by just 1% a year in fees and expenses can reduce your account balance at retirement by 28%. You heard me right. 28% less at retirement. I'm commission-free, certified financial planner Jason Qualls. I don't sell financial products. I don't accept commissions or kickbacks from investment companies. Give me a call today for a free unbiased investment review at 878-2134 or visit my website, jasonquallscfp.com. A recent undercover study found that over 89% of paid tax preparers made mistakes. You heard me right, over 89%. Is your tax person making mistakes? Tax mistakes cost you money and may even lead to an IRS audit. I recommend you get a second opinion on your tax return today by calling Tetherow Helen Welch CPAs at 848-1072. Tetherow Helen Welch has been providing tax services to individuals and businesses for over 50 years. So call them today at 848-1072 or go to thwcpa.com.
Appreciate you keeping it locked in right here on Financial Coaching Radio on WGNS. Going to wrap up the show. But before I go, if you're looking to find out more about what real financial planning is, I say real, and people despise when I say that, but if you have all these conflicts of interest in any business, there's really no way you can be totally transparent. And you know, a lot of advisors charge you way too much. They put you in investments that cost way too much. They're always trying to finagle in some new and improved financial product that may or may not be in your best interest. So make sure you learn what true financial planning is. And you can check out more and learn more at jasonquallscfp.com. That's jasonquallscfp.com. If you want to listen to the show anytime, anywhere, of course, we're here every weekday in the afternoons on WGNS, but online, of course, podcasts, stream the show anytime. Go to financialcoachingradio.com. You'll find a long archives and most recent shows. Tell you that all the time. You'll find a long list of all the past shows. Just go there, check it out, give them a listen. You can scan through them pretty quickly. And maybe just one or two tips per day, per show. We'll teach you some things you did not know because we're talking about topics everyone else is afraid to touch. This is Financial Coaching Radio. I'm out of here. Appreciate you listening. See you next time.